Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and you're listening to the 10 Adventures podcast. We are more than just a travel company. We are a community of active explorers who have been inspired by the outdoors. Join me as I sit down with real people to talk about their most epic adventures on this incredible planet. Welcome back to the 10 Adventures podcast. We have an interesting guest today. Our guest was the first person to complete an Ironman triathlon on every continent. Starting in 2020, Connor started this journey, culminating in doing his final triathlon in Antarctica earlier this year. Today, Connor is going to talk about resilience and mental health to complete this amazing feat. Hi, Connor. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Richard. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So first off, not everyone knows exactly what makes up an Ironman triathlon. Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So an Ironman comprises of a 3.86 kilometer swim, followed by a 180 kilometer bike ride, and then a 42.2 kilometer run. It's widely considered to be the single hardest single day sporting event on the planet, and takes anywhere on average from about 12 to 14 hours, so in the 13-hour mark, which it's hard to sleep that long, so to move that long is a real challenge as well.
You know, you mentioned the challenge, and a lot of times people think of the physical challenge, but just staying upbeat as your body's pained and you get blisters and all these things happen, what's the mental challenge of running just a single Ironman?
Yeah, honestly, I think the mental side of it is the biggest hurdle for a lot of people. It's a long time to move, but to stay mentally tough when you get tired and sore and cramps, or you know, just the training element alone, I think is the hardest part of an Ironman, is getting to the start line, is showing up on the days you don't want to, putting in the long hours. You know, for me, it was about 20 hours of training every single week on top of working full time. So just the mental fortitude of showing up every day, waking up early. And I think, you know, it can be quite lonely, to be honest. So not a lot of people want to go and bike 6 hours on the weekend with you. So finding kind of joy in the isolation as well.
So one thing I've struggled with over the last decade is just finding the time to do, I try and do between 6 and 8 hours of, you know, training each week. And it's really, really tough. You're doing 20 hours a week. How do you find the time to just fit that into a busy schedule? And I think the really hard part is it's easy to plan, but there's so many days like today, I did not want to do a strength workout, but I'm like, I'm finally now saying, okay, damn it, it's in my little streak app. I'm going to do it so I can go press my streak button. But like, how are you able to keep going and keep doing this when it's not, a lot of days it's really tough?
For sure. So I think the first thing whenever you sign up for a challenge or a race or whatever you're working towards is asking yourself, what are you willing to sacrifice? And to me, it was having that honest conversation with myself of, you know, no late nights out with all your friends. And, you know, not to say never, but it was like really waking up early, going to bed early, and finding the time before the workday 9 to 5. So it was maximizing those outside of hours. And finding people that can be your social circle within the sport or within each discipline. So in order to catch up with friends, I'd say, do you want to swim, bike, or run? Because that's the only times we're going to hang it out. And I think, you know, maybe my friends didn't like me for a course of a period of time because that was the only way to catch up. But I think you just have to be willing to stick through it for a finite amount of time. And the lessons you learn from doing that or will transform your entire life.
What are some of the lessons you've learned from that?
I think the biggest one is discipline, is showing up, you know, day in, day out. When you don't want to is where the real growth happens. When you don't want to do that strength class, when you don't want to get up early, you know, you're callousing your mind and you're doing these hard things intentionally. So when other areas of life become hard, you know, like people around you suffering, work is stressful, you're used to be able to deal with being in tough environments, that it increases your threshold for having hard conversations and doing hard things. So I say, you know, the intentional discipline of doing hard things is a life lesson that can be applied in more than just sport.
And speaking of hard things, you decided to do an Ironman on every continent. What led to that decision of like, oh yeah, this is what I want to do for the next few years?
For sure. So, you know, I stumbled across Ironman and triathlon. I grew up playing hockey, and I didn't do my first Ironman until 2020. And kind of how it started was a friend of mine went and did one, and I just thought, that's impossible. You know, like, how can anybody move for that long? I never swam properly or really biked. I was, you know, I did cross country and did a few 10K races, but just thought, this is an otherworldly feat. And it inspired me so much that I texted him and I said, by 2020, I'm going to do my first Ironman. So I just wanted to do one. And I Googled best Ironman experience in the world. New Zealand popped up, and I quit my job, moved to New Zealand, and gave myself 6 months to do an Ironman. 10 days later, the pandemic hit, and I was stranded in New Zealand. And, you know, that was a silver lining, because I read about this girl who did an ultra marathon on 7 continents. And I wondered, has anyone done that for Ironman? Nobody's ever done 7 continents. The youngest to do 6 was 32, and I was 23 at the time. And I didn't know what it would take, but I just committed in that moment to go all in on this vision and this dream.
It seems a huge step to, I want to do an Ironman, to then being like, I'm going to uproot my life for 6 months and do it in New Zealand. I'm interested, like, you could have probably done one in Vancouver where you're based. What was going through your head that you wanted to take such a drastic change to your life to pursue this goal?
Yeah. So to me, it was just this massive bucket list goal that I thought, if I'm going to do one, I want to make it super special and memorable. And to me, I was, you know, working in tech at the time, and it was working for a cool startup called Uber Eats. You know, now it's on everybody's phone app, but we were helping launch Uber Eats, and it was really an exciting time. But I just had this thing in the back of my mind, like, if I don't take this risk and go and learn, I think the biggest thing that I learned is you become a product of your environment. So by doing it in Vancouver or Toronto, I knew I'd be tempted to hang out with the same friends, keep going out on weekends, it'd be so much harder. But if I completely isolated myself in a whole new environment, it would force me to develop new habits, meet new people, and learn new skill sets. So kind of the idea of like a whole new challenge was appealing. And then the gold label award for best Ironman experience in the world was appealing as well. So it was scary, but I think to sum all of that up, I really believe like no risk, no story. And on the other side of risk is opportunity and growth.
Maybe if you want to share what the first 6 Ironmans, you mentioned New Zealand, where did you go after that?
Yeah. So New Zealand was March 7, 2020. 10 days later, the pandemic hit. The world shut down for a year. I thought, you know, I just committed to this goal. It's probably the worst time to commit to the goal because the world was shutting down. Races were being canceled. But as soon as the world opened up, I did 3 in 3 months. So I did Chattanooga, Tennessee, North America. 2 weeks later, I went to Mallorca, Spain. And then 3 weeks after that, I went to South Africa. So 3 Ironmans in 3 months was a huge toll on the body. And then a few months after that, I went to Philippines in Subic Bay. And then the 6th one was in Brazil, Florianopolis.
So it's your 7th one. I was reading through your website and just trying to understand the complexity of that. It seemed like this epic, incredible adventure. Do you want to maybe just talk about what goes into doing an Ironman in Antarctica?
Yeah, so that is like uncharted territory. You know, the other 6 were sanctioned races. This one was just me, no races, no spectators, and a huge logistics challenge. So I ended up finding a sailboat that was 15 meters long, and we spent 23 days on the sailboat. It took 5 days to cross the Drake Passage, which is the roughest waters in the world from South America to Antarctica. And you're just seasick getting there for 5 days. You don't eat. You just, you know, as you can imagine, throwing up, and it is pretty scary. But to me, it was this whole idea of doing something that's never been done before that drove me. And so many people helped make it possible and believed in me. But the actual logistics was kind of a little bit of planning, or a lot of bit of planning, but a lot of bit of guesswork. Like getting there, we kind of had to make our own route when we arrived based on the conditions, the wildlife. There's penguins, seals, orcas, whales, icebergs that are 40 meters high. It's like the most surreal place I've ever been to in my life, and super, you know, grateful to experience that. But you just had to adapt when I got there and created my own route. And I'm going on a big tangent here, but I'll jump into the actual triathlon, which was, you know, almost 4 kilometers of swimming in ice water, which was -1 degree water temperatures. And then followed that, I did a 200 meter bike loop 900 times, which took me 21 hours. So if the swim wasn't physical torture, the bike was mental torture. And then I had to run a marathon on that same bike loop afterwards. So it took about 32 hours and 42 minutes to complete.
I've seen videos at the Banff Mountain Film Festival where people ski across Antarctica. And like, I was surprised when I watched those. There's like a cat track that goes all the way across to resupply different places. So like doing a ski tour is quite easy. I'd assumed you would have like had a fat bike and, you know, biked on that path or you'd run on that. But it sounds like what you did is like way harder. Like, so you just had this little small 200 meter track. Like it must have been like almost 100% mental. Just how do you stay motivated to do 900 laps of a little 200 meter track? Like that seems almost impossible.
Yeah, it felt impossible. But you know, the thing that people don't realize is like this physical accomplishment was incredible, but it was so much more than just the physical side for me. It was like training for 4 years, being the athlete, the marketer, you know, partnerships, fundraising, logistics, like doing all of this. And there's so many people that believed in me along the way. So when I was in those hard moments, I thought a lot about the people that helped me and tried to make it much bigger than myself. Was like, you know, I'm doing this for my brother and for the Movember group that we talk about men's health and people that are struggling. And, you know, there's a lot of people on a personal level that struggle with a lot of things that I've been around and are no longer here. And that kind of drove me was, if I can intentionally suffer through this, maybe I can show people that getting through a hard day is possible.
And I want to talk about that a bit more because I noticed you mentioned, you know, you're really involved in raising awareness around mental health issues. And I was interested, like, how does doing these athletics influence mental health? Is there something, obviously you've been touched personally, but is there something about being outdoors or doing these challenges that, you know, is also kind of like a tonic for, you know, challenging mental health issues?
Absolutely. So, you know, when you think of triathlon, it's swim, bike, run. But to me, what I call is like the fourth discipline is the mindset and the mental element of it. And I think that, you know, mental health is largely influenced by your surroundings, who you're with, and being outdoors and still in a way is stillness is like the path to clarity. So for me, I find stillness in actually movement, ironically, is, you know, swimming, you're alone, you're just thinking about your thoughts, giving yourself time to find peace in like this hectic world, and you're kind of tuning out the world with being in the water. And I think, you know, specifically the cold exposure was super helpful for me. It was like doing something that was tough and controlling that like feeling of you want to fight right away. It was but like sitting with it, feeling through it, working through it, and then sharing that kind of like learning and resilience with other people. So I think that, you know, doing these hard things, being outside, helps in other elements of your life as well.
You have a quote on your website that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I was interested, you know, triathlon to me seems a really kind of personal event. You know, it's out of all the different things you can do, it's your training, it's your race. How does, you know, go together? What does it mean and how does it influence your success in doing these incredible exploits?
Yeah, I think whatever journey anybody is on, you know, you need support. So speaking up when times are hard, asking for help, you know, learning from experts or people who have done it. For me, triathlon was totally new. So when I say go together, it was like finding a community of triathletes to train with, finding mentors that have done what I was doing and asking for their help, asking for their guidance, finding a videographer that, you know, believed in the story, but also wanted to develop his skill set. And we got to work together to capture all of this. And I just think that whatever your goal is in life, you're going to get a lot further by sharing it with others and working with others to accomplish it.
And so when you finished, you know, you finished the triathlon, like what's the feeling of, you know, doing something that's never been done before? You're in the middle of nowhere. I think there was a team of seven of you. So like, it's not like you're running, you know, into a big stadium with thousands of people. It's just like seven of you. How does it feel to accomplish, you know, to accomplish this?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. You know, to me, I felt very like touched and moved that I got to, you know, do it with my brother, my mom, and my best friend by my side. So to accomplish my goal was incredible, but to do it with the people that believe in you the most just made it priceless. And just collapsed in their arms. You know, it was a moment of relief, because I feel like I was delusional at that point, moving for 32 hours. So I just collapsed and kind of spent like 10 minutes just lying there thinking about what just happened. And then I went and slept for 24 hours because I was so exhausted. But yeah, I think it's one of those things that I'm just going to pull lessons and feelings from for a long time to come. And I fully haven't processed it yet because so much went into it. And yeah, I really hope that I can amplify the message of dare to dream, whatever your dream is, you know, take that risk and go after it, because, you know, you're going to learn a lot about yourself and you might have an opportunity to help others along the way.
Hey everyone, this is Richard, and I just want to take 30 seconds to let you know that if you are enjoying these stories and are interested in embarking on your own adventure, then head over to 10adventures.com. At 10 Adventures, our specialty is booking private and custom active holidays. Jump straight from dreaming to doing without any of the hassle of travel planning in between. Join thousands of other travelers who have already booked with 10 Adventures to destinations in over 85 countries and experience more of what our planet has to offer while making memories that'll last a lifetime. Now back to the podcast. I'm interested. So it took 32 hours in Antarctica. And I think you mentioned earlier, you know, these are usually like 10 to 12 hour races. What influenced Antarctica being so long? Was it just cycling and running on snow that's just super inefficient, or were there other factors at play?
Yeah, for sure. The conditions. So, you know, the swim first off is -1 degree water temperatures. So it took me an hour and 43 minutes, which is 43 minutes longer than Chattanooga, for example. There was a seal chasing me. So it was like literally swimming with a wild creature behind you. And we had a boat, like a Zodiac beside me, that was going back and forth to kind of like, you know, scare it off from getting too close. And then it practically went hypothermic. Like my body was so cold. It was so scary. Like my brother jumped on me and put my hands on his bare skin. You know, they put my feet in warm water coming out of the water. And it took like 30 minutes to warm up properly before I got on the bike. And then, you know, a bike, a fat bike, you can't go very fast on a fat bike. It's essentially, we did it in a place called Deception Island, which is an active volcano area. So it's like asphalt, which is like biking on sand. So it's very different than, you know, the time trial bike where you're aero on nice paved roads in a regular race. So 21 hours on the bike alone was just like the longest I've ever done anything for. So to run a marathon after that was exceptionally hard as well.
Yeah, that sounds like a true suffer fest. I'm interested in, you know, I'll come back to this training regime, because I've been thinking, you know, 20 hours a week, how would you break that up? You know, you're doing so many different muscle groups and training so many different systems. How would you even conceive of training 20 hours a week for an Ironman?
Yeah, so I mean, for me, a lot of it was, you know, self-motivated and self-structured. But if I was to recommend based on my experience, I'd say get a coach or join a club, because when you're creating it yourself, it's it's like a lot of moving pieces, but when you have somebody that can guide you, if you're in a position to do that, I think like it really eliminates any guesswork. I think, you know, structuring 3 swims, 3 bikes, 3 runs a week, and just finding time to do that, doubling up on the weekends, so longer sessions on the weekends. And then just getting up early. I know it's hard, like life is hard. Everybody's tired, everybody's sore, everybody has excuses, but don't be everybody. Find the time if it's really important to you, because, you know, that's where growth is, that's where learnings are, and that's what's going to lead to more opportunities in life.
It's interesting you mentioned the morning. So all my life, I've either tried to train after work in the nights or wake up early in the morning. And I found in the morning, I just kind of wasn't there. And, you know, I'd always, you know, when you're asleep, it's easy to forget something. And at nights, there's always, you know, kids and you're tired. And I found for me, lunchtime was actually like, I have my most energy kind of from 9 till 3. But is there a benefit? Like, should I be like trying to move that to the morning? Is there like a physiological benefit of training early, or is that just something for you and your schedule? That's what you found worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think whatever your schedule is, work around it. Like, everybody's different. Some people are night owls and don't go to bed until super late. Some people, you know, are fine getting up early is easier. To me, I think like doing the hardest thing of your day in the beginning of your day just sets up the rest of the day for success. You know, it's easy when it comes around to lunchtime to be like, oh, actually, you know, I'd rather go for lunch with my friend or a coffee chat. It's like somebody's like, let's grab coffee on X day. It's like, you know, I want to be able to say yes to those things and not have to sacrifice the workout. And so I think to me, it's like, if you can do it in the morning, then you set yourself up for success for the rest of the day.
You've got a real nice espresso machine in the background. I can see how important the coffee meetups are.
For sure, for sure.
So somebody's listening and they're like, hey, I want to, you know, get into triathlon. What are the steps of someone who maybe is, you know, a hobbyist, they're a hiker, they're a cyclist, they're a, you know, a part-time runner. If they want to start to do Ironman, how would you kind of suggest to frame the challenge of going from no try to eventually do it in Ironman? Is there like a time period that, you know, or a way they can ease into that and kind of, you know, gain their chops?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I think an Ironman, the average kind of training time is recommended is like 6 months to a year, depending on where you're at, to like work your way up to it. But I'd say like my psychology is sign up for a race and then work backwards. Because once you're signed up, you're committed, and you don't need to sign up for an Ironman right away. If you're, you know, a runner or a swimmer or a biker and you're interested in it, I'd say sign up for a give it a try, or, you know, an Olympic distance or a sprint triathlon. And there's tons of them all over the place, where it's, you know, a 500 meter swim or a 200 meter swim followed like by a 10 to 40K bike and then a 5 to, you know, 10K run, all the distances. But give it a try and see if you like it. And I think you'll, more often than not, a lot of people love it. You know, they find a lot of joy in it, and the challenge is super rewarding. And to me, what kept me coming back was the community. You know, we talked a lot about being solo, but when you go to these races and you kind of meet the people in the tents afterwards and you hear their stories, and it's so invigorating. The one common characteristic I've found in triathlon is everybody wants to be better. No matter where they are in life, they want to be better. And I think that's a really rare mentality to be around. So I'd highly recommend it, giving it a try.
That, you know, the value of community and people that are pushing themselves, you know, I don't really ever think of that, but you're so right. It's just being around those people, you're pushing yourself, because if everyone else is doing it, then so do you. It's a bit like being in startups as well. Everyone's working hard. Everyone's trying to, you know, create these incredible things. And so it's like, oh, I guess that's table stakes here, and that's how these great innovations are accomplished. I was interested, while you're doing your triathlon streak, you did something called the Dave Goggins Challenge, which I'd never heard of, but then I read into it, and that seems pretty wild. Can you maybe just share what that is?
Yeah, so David Goggins is, you know, the hardest person on the planet, so they call, and has an interesting rep behind him. But what I love about him is he's always challenging himself and those around him to be the best they can be. And he has this challenge called the 4x4x48, where you run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. So it ends up being, 48 miles over the course of 2 days, which is about 80 kilometers just under. But more than the physical side, it's a mental challenge where you have to get up every 4 hours and run another 4 miles. So, you're pretty much doing it on lack of sleep. And the real challenge is, can you test your mindset to push through that kind of next physical exertion portion and keep doing that over and over again for 2 days? It was an awesome challenge for me because, again, I think swim, bike, run is great, but finding challenging things to do to challenge the mind is always a good thing to undertake.
It seems talking to you that you're this type of person likes to kind of come up with these audacious things like, can I do this? Like, let's go see if I can. And I guess, is that an accurate reflection of who you are? And then were you raised this way? Do you just think it's, you're born this way? Is it just, things you've read? Like, how did you get to this point where you're willing to take these risks and do these challenges?
Yeah, to me, I think I've always had the mindset, like, just learn by doing. You can only read and listen to so much and so many people, but you really learn by throwing yourself in the deep end and, make that a gradual deep end. You don't need to go into the middle of the ocean tomorrow, but like just start dipping your toes in challenges that scare you. And to me, I've always looked for things that scare me and make me question, can I do that? Because when I do and, I surprise myself, that just opens the whole world of possibilities of what you can tackle. I never really grew up around that many, like I have two older brothers and we were always competitive. And I think that just drove me to want to compete against them. And I've always been fascinated with people that just push the envelope of what's possible. I was never the best athlete. I was always a decent athlete, but I was in a gym class with Justin Knight, who is now Canada's fastest 5,000 meter runner, and just like watching him show up every day was inspiring. Or, I played hockey with a guy named Jake Evans, who's now in the NHL, and watching him was inspiring. So my mindset was like, instead of being jealous of them, learn from them and just like see the work that they put in and try and emulate that in myself. So yeah, I don't know. I think to me, it's like, if you're not challenging yourself, then you're just going to stay where you're at.
And so with that, you've just completed this Guinness World Record streak of triathlons on every continent. Like, have you thought of what your next big audacious goal is going to be?
Yeah. I think there's always another challenge around the corner or another mountain to climb. Right now, I'm taking some time to process this and, we're working on a documentary. So I think that's going to be a whole new challenge in a creative sense, is capturing all the lessons in a book and in a documentary and highlighting all the people that helped make it possible and hopefully, create something that we can share with the world. And then on a personal level, I'm actually launching my first run retreat and mindfulness retreat. So all the lessons I learned.
Oh, cool.
I'm excited to bring together and curate, the things I wish I had for mindset, goal setting, and community. Super excited about more like personal development and creating the tangible assets of the film and the documentary for the world.
And if people want to find out more information about the run retreat or more information on the triathlons, where can they find this information?
Yeah, so on Instagram at connor.emini or I have a website called chasingantarctica.com. So both of those will be updated with the latest on what's in store.
And when is the run retreat?
That's in August. So in August in Squamish, Vancouver, which is, I think, the trail running capital of Canada. So beautiful place. And yeah, it's on an old horse farm. So a bunch of rescued horses are running around, and just going to be a great experience for people.
Well, that sounds excellent. You know, thanks for coming on the show today, Connor. It was really cool to hear about your achievement, but also just the mindset, I think, of taking on challenges and dreaming these, you know, audacious goals and then doing them.
Absolutely, Richard. Appreciate you having me on, and hope more people dare to dream.
Excellent. I'll put links to what Connor mentioned, his website and his Instagram, in the show notes. And with that, thanks for listening to this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. We'll be back next week to explore the world and hear about more epic adventures. Start planning your own adventure by visiting us at 10adventures.com and listen to other episodes of the 10 Adventures podcast on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you find your podcasts.